Hello and welcome to Film School for Dad, Lockdown Edition, the podcast where we attempt to rectify Dad's lifetime squandered on serious pursuits and altruistic activities that somehow led him to overlook pretty much all of popular culture. I'm Harv.
And I'm Dad.
And announce the film, Dad. What are we watching?
Unforgiven.
Yep, that's right. Let's do that. Unforgiven is a 1992 film starring Clint Eastwood, Gene Hackman, and Morgan Freeman. Hopefully you've heard of some. Morgan Freeman, surely? Gene Hackman?
Yes, I've heard of all of the above.
There you go. It was written by David Webb Peoples, who I did not know the name of, but actually is of quite a good pedigree. He's an accomplished writer in his own right. But it's very much a Clint Eastwood film. And unless you've followed Clint Eastwood's more recent career, you might think that that means something to do with him playing a tough guy or whatever. But it's he actually directed this film. He even did the score for the film. So his fingerprints are all over the thing. And if you think of Clint Eastwood, you probably think of, what, Dirty Harry or something like that?
Dirty Harry, Machismo, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, are you have you seen those or are you just know of them by reputation?
No, I only know of them. I haven't... I can't recall watching a Clint Eastwood movie. I'd be struggling. I may have, but I can't remember.
I'm almost certain you've watched Million Dollar Baby, which was the one with the female boxer.
Yes.
Well, he directed that, and that was one of the early ones of his kind of foray into the more quiet sort of character study type stuff where he was moving away from his old Western tough guy stuff.
I remember that one, yep.
All right, cool. So while he's known for like these sort of gritty classic Westerns where he plays tough guys and whatever, Unforgiven also follows that same trope. So it's one of the few movies that he made post his sort of acting only career that actually is still a Western and sort of in the genre that he is best known for. But it comes with a major twist. And it's not a narrative twist, but a twist in the very concept of a Western that was so significant that it kind of has been said to have destroyed the Western genre as we know it, as in it almost made it impossible for anyone to make a Western ever again. And the stats back it up. Apparently, despite the film being quite successful at the box office, there was a notable decline in Western films being put out by Hollywood after this. It basically dropped to zero over the next decade because no one could really make one after this. So in a way, it was Clint Eastwood's swan song, is that the right term, to the Western, you know, his final hurrah. So I don't want you to think that we're here to watch like a classic Western movie that's basically just people shooting each other and so on. It's a different type of film.
Well, that's really fascinating. You should be showing me this because for me, Westerns are something I've only ever seen on Western type shows on TV.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever sat down and watched from start to finish a movie that would be called a Western. I certainly haven't watched it off TV. Most of the stuff I watched as a child would have been on black and white TV. It would have been shows like Bonanza and Rawhide and going back a bit further, Hopalong Cassidy and Cisco Kid and that sort of stuff. The only one I ever saw actually at a drive-in was Blazing Saddles, which I thought was hilarious, and Mel Brooks pretty much destroyed any straight concept I had of a Western in that.
Yeah, well, it was a parody, so it made fun of all the tropes, right?
Correct. But even long before that, Westerns were something I never took that seriously, okay? So you're telling me I'm about to watch a movie that destroys Westerns when they've actually never probably lived in my consciousness.
Which is very true of me as well. I was never even remotely interested. I know of Dirty Harry from seeing clips of, you know, Make My Day and all that kind of stuff, but I never had any interest in them at all. I think I caught a few on television by mistake, like just switching channels or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But barely know anything about him. However, this movie basically taught me everything I needed to know about Westerns, okay, and kind of confirmed the fact that I probably should have just ignored them anyway. Like, I did go back and try and watch The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, you know, that spaghetti Western, which was such a weird genre because the Italian filmmakers started making American Westerns, and I don't know, it didn't do it for me. I watched, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes of it and turned it off, I think, and just I just don't get it.
And I've just remembered in recent times I have, out of curiosity, looked at a couple of Westerns on the classic old movies on pay TV. I'm pretty sure I watched Gunfight at the OK Corral, I think it is.
Okay, that's a classic. I know the name.
Yeah, yeah. But it was just more out of curiosity than anything. I've never taken Westerns that seriously. That's the bottom line. It sounds like you haven't either.
No, not really. Yeah. And it sounds like the ones you have seen are more the family-friendly version or comedic versions of Westerns.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, this one is definitely not a comedy. It won 4 Oscars, including Best Picture and Best Director. It also picked up Best Supporting Actor for Gene Hackman. And it sits in the IMDb top 250 at position 133, so the 133rd best movie of all time, according to the masses. And it's directly above the Marilyn Monroe classic Some Like It Hot, and a few slots above The Great Escape. So you can see it's like the pedigree of the movie is quite high.
I've seen both of those.
That's right. That's why I picked him. I thought, yeah, there's a couple that Dad might have seen.
Yeah.
So you've often said that you dislike filmic violence, right? And this film does have some violence in it, so it's a little bit of a risk. But I think it's depicted with purpose behind it, and it's far from a glamorous depiction. It's not for fun, right? It's to make serious points. And in fact, if you look at what's actually shot and what's shown on screen, it's very restrained in how much violence it shows. So I think, and that's done deliberately.
Redefine me as disliking gratuitous violence or violence that is there for dramatic effect. I love the Godfather movies, for example, and I can think of other movies. Obviously, a war movie has to have some violence in it. So violence in context doesn't trouble me. If I'm aware that movies have got a lot of violence in them, it makes it far less likely I'll watch them.
Yes, that's right. So for that reason, perhaps this isn't a movie that you would have necessarily picked out, which is, I guess it fits the format. So the idea being getting you to watch movies you probably wouldn't have picked out on your own. So, and I'm hoping you really like it because, you know, I think you're in exactly the same position as me starting this film, which is you don't know a lot about Westerns. You haven't seen a lot. You're not a fan. You don't really care. You don't know who Clint Eastwood is as a director. I didn't back then. And really, you're just going to be open-minded. So I won't spoil it further by over-explaining it. But basically, I'm pretty hopeful about this one. I'm excited for you to see it anyway, because, I think it does a really good job of undoing what the Western is supposed to be, sort of deconstructing it, if you will, or whatever.
So it's not a John Wayne style movie.
No, but interestingly, Clint Eastwood plays technically a character that is kind of like a John Wayne. Okay. So, you'll see when you. I don't want to say too much, you know, but you'll see it explains itself really well. It's really well done. So. I'm pretty keen to get into it. I think we've done enough of an intro. I don't know, probably. Any other thoughts before we just go straight into the movie?
No. You've got me interested. Let's have a look at it.
All right. Well, we just watched Unforgiven, a little disconnected or more disconnected than usual, but in sync somehow. We finished it about the same time. So over to you, Dad. What did you think of it?
Oh, well, I'm a bit taken aback by it, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't know whether to laugh or cry for a while. I never really got over him riding off into the sunset and leaving his kids at home for 2 weeks.
I've got to admit that is one of the more disturbing parts of the movie. Yeah. That I guess it was supposed to be how things were back then or something. That's all I assumed, but I can't imagine it would have been.
When you say things were back then, I mean, they appear to be primary school age children.
And all the pigs were dying and they were just left in the mess. Yeah.
So that worried me.
Yeah.
But, me too. But he certainly got his mojo back in the finish, didn't he?
Well, he did, yeah. I mean, you could look at it as a mojo reclaiming story, I suppose. It is in a way, yeah.
Yeah, clearly it was a brutal parody on the whole idea of running around shooting people.
Well, yeah, I don't know if I'd call it quite a parody. It wasn't, I mean, it had some levity to it, but I don't think it was comedic.
No, but the whole thing was clearly meant to be over the top. If parody's not the right word, it wasn't wanting us to take the story too seriously, surely.
Yeah, I think it was basically using the same tropes of a Western for the story.
Yeah.
But then injecting elements of humanity and reality that they would normally ignore to be more entertaining.
Correct. Yeah. It was trying to have real humans running around doing what they do in Westerns. That's right.
Yeah.
And... However, did a woman other than a whore speak a word in it? Hardly, I don't think.
No.
The idea of a town with just blokes in the pub and a whorehouse was just a bit unrealistic, I thought.
Yeah, but that's got to be part of the trope, right? The saloon with the whores and all that
stuff.
That's
why I called it a parody, because even though the people were shown with human emotions, they weren't believable humans because of the situation. I can't imagine any town ever being set up like that.
Well, I don't know. It wasn't there, you know, in the 1800s.
No, it's not that long ago.
No, I mean, it's not. And it's interesting to think about what technology they had and what they didn't have. And
well, they appeared to only have guns and whips.
Yeah, guns and horses, yeah, and leather whips. Goods.
Yeah. As a horse lover myself, I found they humanized the humans. They didn't show any empathy with the horses.
Well, ironically, the only person who did was one of the guys who was
trying to give his best one away.
Give his best horse away. He seemed to really like that horse. Yeah. So,
but he wasn't doing that out of the generosity of his heart. He was doing it out of sheer terror of the man who told him he had to do it. Little Bill.
Maybe, but he was trying to give away an extra horse that he wasn't required to. So I think he was trying to alleviate his guilt there.
I didn't take it that way. I took it simply that he was...
No, well, part of the injustice was that Little Bill had mandated that they give the pimp or the owner of the saloon horses, but he never compensated the actual victim of the crime.
No.
And and so the guy actually doing that, it was a nice gesture. Yeah,
sorry, I missed that point. He was trying to give it directly to the victim. Okay, right.
Yeah, and he withheld the best horse from the guy that he had to give horses to as well. So,
in other words, that's the closest thing to morality in his personality was that.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they rejected it, and probably rightly so.
Yeah, right.
But at the same time, I think it's a commentary, that moment is a commentary on the ambiguity of who's a villain and who's a hero.
Absolutely. There was no hero in that movie. Possibly Morgan Freeman came out of it the closest.
A martyr, at least.
He's the only one that wasn't capable of pulling the trigger and ended up becoming the martyr, as you say, yeah.
So it's really, it's a movie about three different experiences of trying to be a tough guy or an assassin or a killer or whatever it is. And there was only one genuine killer in the bunch, which is William Munnally, the Clint Eastwood character. The kid thought he could do it and then was so haunted by it immediately afterwards that